Kent, so good to see you. Welcome if you're in the building. Welcome if you're tuning in online on a rainy Florida day. I would imagine more of you chose to stay home and live stream this, so welcome to all of you. But I'm going to give a special shout out to Brittany in Naples. Thanks for being connected to us. Really, really good to have you. You might be on St. Simon's Island or maybe traveling on your way to the North Carolina mountains. I don't know, wherever you are, thanks for being connected. But hey, welcome to everybody that is a part of this day and a part of this message. It's really, really good to see you. Thanks for braving the weather for those that came into the building. I know in Florida we don't do weather well, so good job, everybody. Good job. It's good to have you. Hey, listen, before I get into today's message, I want to just kind of report back on something, if I may. How many of you guys, I want to hear from you if you're in the room, like a whoop or a whistle or something, you know, whatever your sound is, hand clap. If you were a part of last week's after party, when we toured the high school, we heard some vision about our expansion. If you were a part of that, let me hear from you in the room this morning. Hey, thank you, first of all, for being a part of that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you're a guest in the room, our church is preparing for an expansion. And so here in the coming, really weeks now, we are weeks away from this move. We are going to be expanding into the St. Augustine High School auditorium, which is right next door to us here. Our current facility will transition into a kids' campus. And so we are, because we're a growing church, and we're seeing more and more people get connected, and we believe, by the way, that God is calling us to much, much more, we are moving into an expansion. And so last week, what we did is we just called everybody sort of to an after party, and we had a bunch of food and a bunch of celebration. I shared some of the vision of that expansion. We went and walked through sort of the spaces that we're going to be occupying next door, and just to sort of see it and feel it and get an idea of what it's actually going to be like over there. And so if you missed it because maybe you didn't know about it, or you missed it because your schedule just didn't allow, I want to quickly say something in regards to it. If you're in the front row, this is going to be under your chair. And if you're in any other row, this is going to be in the seat back in front of you. And if you're connecting online, I'm going to tell you how you can respond to this here in just a moment. We handed out this this interest form, so the campus launch interest form. And so here's what I want to say to you. If you're like, man, I really want to be a part of this, I really want to help and you know, serve or make it happen, this is how you would let us know that. And so there's two options on here. There's two options. One, you'll see these top two boxes. One says attend all access. Let me just tell you what that is. All access is like our next steps classes. This is where you would learn more about our church. You would learn more about yourself, and then you would learn how you could make a difference in our church. And so that's three easy steps. We just talked about it in news. I'm talking about it now. And so if you're like, hey, I would love to maybe connect or at least learn more to know if I want to connect, then what I would love for you to do is just fill that out, check that box. If you have been through All Access, maybe you just haven't served in a while because you're just coming back to the building, you know, after sort of COVID changing our lives or whatever, and you just decided, hey, I'm back, but I'd like to make a difference, then this other box is for you, and it just simply says, connect to the serve team. And so I would love for you to fill this out if you're interested in making a difference with us, and then drop this in the giving boxes at the back of the auditorium when you walk out. If you're online and you're like, that's me, there's a lot of ways that you can serve even from a distance. We need tech support that you can do from your home. So even if you're still in a quarantine kind of a mindset, or there's a reason that you can't be in groups of people, you still can make a difference right where you are. And so what I want to encourage you to do is just go to our website, cotr.live, and just simply click contact us and just say serve team. If you'll say that to us, we'll ask you the questions that we need to ask to help you take your next steps. All right, that's the announcement. Everybody feeling good about that? We are so excited. I cannot wait to see what God does. There is an energy about what God is doing in our church, and if he's doing it in our church, that means he's doing it in you, because you are the church. Say amen right there. That's good. I'm not even preaching yet, and I'm already dropping bombs, all right? And so we are the church, not this building, not this address. God has called us beyond these walls. Amen, everybody? And so I'm excited about that. All right, we're going to start a brand new series today. And so again, if you're a guest tuning in for the first time, maybe, or you're in the room, I love to teach in just series. I like to kind of create a bigger thought and just talk about that thought sort of over the course of weeks. And so it's February, everybody. You know what's in February? Come on, say it out loud. What is it? It's Valentine's Day. And what are we thinking about in February? We're thinking about love and chocolate and flowers. Come on, right? And so what we're going to do in this month and in this series is we're going to talk about relationships. relationships. And we titled the series, It's Complicated. Because how many of you know that when it comes to most relationships, it's complicated? Wouldn't you agree? Even good relationships, it's complicated. Even if you have a healthy relationship, maybe with a parent or a spouse or a friend, the truth of the matter is, in order to maintain the health of that relationship, there's a complex reality of how we engage in that relationship and how we interact to keep it healthy. Some of us have complicated relationships that are just in trouble. They're struggling. Some we've quit on. And so what I want to do over the course of the next 4 weeks is just simply speak into the complication of relationships. And so here's what I want to let you know what we're going to talk about all month. Today I'm going to talk about a little bit of a difficult subject, because we're going to talk about difficult people. How many of y'all know some of them? Amen. Amen. If you do not know one of them, that might be bad news for you. All right? I'm kidding, but really. We are also going to talk about marriage in this series, and so we're going to spend some time investing into the marriages of Church on the Rock. And here's what I want to say right away, because here's what tends to happen. I get some pushback sometimes from singles, because they're like, well, I'm not married. And here's what I'm going to say to you. We can learn from every message that God speaks. And here's why. It's going to have the truth of God's word in it. Even if you're a single, you can learn from a marriage message. And the reason you can learn from it is because there is a relationship between our Heavenly Father and us. We are referred to biblically as the bride of Christ, and He is our groom. And so even as a single, there is a connection that we can learn from in marriage context. But even if that's not the context that you would even look through, you still can learn, because it's still about relational connection and intimacy in relationships. And so we're going there. So if you know somebody who has a marriage that's struggling, or you have a marriage that could use some improvement, which all of ours can, amen, or you just say, I just want to get better. Like, our relationship's awesome, but I just want it to get better. I want to encourage you to be here for this series. And then finally, we're going to wrap our series up talking about singled life. Come on, the singles in the house. I'm going to have a panel of people joining me for that message. And so here's part of my story. A lot of you know this and a lot of you don't. I have been a married father since before I was a high school graduate. I've never been single. I don't have a clue. I just celebrated 20 years of marriage with my wife last month. Yep. Proud of that, and I love it. But I'm going to have some other people with me on the platform from their perspective, who are single, who have a different lens, who have a different experience of life, and they're going to be able to speak into the life of the singles in our church, because I feel like I can, but it's only a small portion that I really can speak to, whereas they are going to prayerfully cover the entire group of our church that is currently single. So I'm just telling you what's ahead, so that you can lean in this month and stay connected with us. So even if you miss a Sunday or you're out of town or whatever, we always archive these messages. You can always go and get the playback. All right, you guys ready to get started today?
Yes.
Let's do it. If you're a note taker, there are notes in the seat backs in front of you, link online or under the seat if you're on the front row. This look familiar to anybody that's been a part of our church for about 2022? All last month, we were in a series, and we started with this verse. Every week, we started here. And we're just going to start here again. Here it goes. It's Jesus in a moment where someone's posing a question to him, and they say, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And then he says, "This is the first and greatest commandment." Last month's series, we called it First Priority. We need Jesus above everything. Isn't that right, everybody? He's got to be first. He's got to be first. But he continues. He didn't stop there. He gave us another verse that we're going to look at today. He said, "And the second is like it." So he's like, oh, you want to know what the most important thing is? Well, first, it's Jesus over everything, God first. But the second one is equal to it. It's just like it. Love your neighbor. Here it comes. Here comes the heavy part. As yourself. And that's hard to do. That is hard to do. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Here's what Jesus is saying.
He says, if I would be the first priority in your life and you would love everybody else the way that you love you, you'll fulfill everything I would ask you to do. But the reality is, it's complicated. It's really complicated for a myriad of reasons that I don't have all the time to get into today, because some of us have a poor view of ourselves. Some of us don't even love us very much. That's a problem. That's a problem. And I'm going to speak to that for about 60 seconds. You ready? The problem when we don't love ourselves is that we don't see ourselves the way God does. We have deception going on in our spirit from the enemy who's accusing us of being something we're not called by God to be. And we have evidence of it because of our past. And we can hang that on, yeah, but you don't know my story, or you don't remember when, or you don't know the mistakes that I've made. And what we'll do is we will hang our self-deprecating, poor love for ourselves on accusations from the enemy that in Christ Jesus we have the opportunity to do away with, because the Bible makes a promise that any person that's in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, like surprise, all things become new. And so if you have a poor image of yourself, or if you don't love yourself well, then what you need is a better identity in who you are in Christ. You need to have a better understanding of it. Amen. That's not exactly where I'm going today, but food for thought. Go get into the scripture. Go find you some messages. Google search, you know, Bible verses about identity in Christ, and see what the Word of God says to you. And what you need to do is start renewing your mind in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. Man, my mind will mess me up, but if I get that thing in line with what Jesus says, I'm gonna be okay. All right, let me get to today's message. Come on now. Bait me on. Today we're gonna talk about them. Talk about them. Difficult people. We've already said we know them. We know who they are. Some of us work with them. Some of us live with them. Some of us were raised by them. Some of us, dare I say, married them. Come on now, I'm watching husbands and wives do this stuff. All right. I set you up to fail. Come back next week. Amen. I got something for you. I really do. But let's just go to the scripture, okay? Because I don't want to teach my opinions. I just want to teach God's word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, I love this verse because it says this. Again, I say, so this is a pastor communicating to a church family. And he says, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. Man, so we could just stay there and a lot of our lives change, okay? But the Bible says that a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Watch. And be able to teach. And be patient with who? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Scripture, for making me right that they do exist. Thank you, Lord. So listen, I brought this scripture. I could teach deep on every line of it, but I brought this scripture just to help us identify that they do exist. There are, in fact, difficult people, and some of us don't even have to try. We already have their images and their names and experience with them just like in the forefront of our mind right now. But listen to me. Here's what we're not going to do, okay? What I'm not going to do is talk about them today. What I'm going to do is talk about you today. Because here's what I used to ask my children when they were real small. I would say, who are you responsible for? But she said, whoop, Dad. But who are you responsible for? And when they would finally humble themselves, they would correctly answer, me. That's right. So there might be 10 pieces in the pie of this situation, and you might only be responsible for 2 of them, but you're going to own 100% of all both of them slices, all right, as I like to say. Okay? So we're going to talk about us today, because difficult people do exist, But the thing is, I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for me. Isn't that right? All right, so how can we do it? Come on, let's get into the scripture. Let's dig deep. We're going to start right here. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, say the first word with me. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. So let's just keep it into perspective that I'm not perfect either. So instead of looking out the window at them, I'm going to look into the mirror at me today. Because I'm only responsible for me. And if I keep it in the right context, yeah, they might be aggravating. Yeah, they might be unfair. Yeah, they might be downright horrible. Okay? They really might be. But you know who I'm responsible for? Me. And so if I stand in the window, I have the tendency and the propensity to lean towards judgment and accusation. But if I stand in the mirror, I have a tendency to have reflection. So because I'm responsible for me, let's just see what we can do about difficult people. All right, let's move on. I got a couple more verses. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Don't you wish that wasn't there? Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Watch this. Now listen to me carefully. If it's possible. If it's possible. And as far as it depends on you, we're in the mirror this morning, live at peace with everyone. Which means sometimes it may not be possible. Sometimes it may be out of your control. But if there's 10 slices in this pie, I'll be responsible for 100% of what's mine. And that's where we're going today. Yeah? I think I got one more. Let's see. And if not, I'm going to give you point number one. Nope. Point number one. You ready? So four things today I'm going to give you that we can do when it comes to difficult people. None of which are easy things. None of them. So let's put on our big girl pants and our big boy pants. Come on, pull them up. Strap the buckle. Here we go. We're going to start. We're going to pray for them. So how do I respond to difficult people? How do I respond? And I just want you to know that I'm bringing not necessarily in any order. There's not like a biblical order to this. I just put them in an order, but there is biblical support to every point. And the first thing that I'm going to do as a follower of Christ Jesus is I'm going to pray for them. And that is hard to do. I put this one first because I think this one is the one that has the most spiritual implication of tearing down the barriers in my heart toward these people. What I would encourage you is to start small if you have to. Start small. To pray for them, you might first need to pray for you. The start of this prayer might need to be, Jesus, please help me to have more compassion. Help me to have a heart like yours that would pray for them, that could love them even though they drive me nuts or they wronged me or they betrayed me or they were evil toward me. Father, I pray that you would give me the kind of heart that is in line with you, that's Jesus over everything, so that I can walk in this second and equal commandment of loving them the way that I love me. Help me, God, to get to a place where I actually can pray for them. And then, after God begins to mold our hearts like the Bible promises that he will, then we can get into a place where even those prayers might need to start small. God, today, I pray you don't kill them. Maybe that's where it begins. God, today, I just pray that you bless them. That something good happens to them. Why would I ever pray that, Pastor? Because the Bible says it's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. So I just, you know what, God, I don't necessarily want a good thing to happen to them, but I want what you want for them. And I just pray, Father, that, you know, whatever, you just do something good in them. And then here's what's going to happen is like a snowball effect will begin to where it'll begin to get a little easier and a little easier and a little easier to pray for them, even to specifics where maybe you kind of know something they've been through. And now all of a sudden, your lens is shifting into a place of more compassion. We're like, God, I know that they're difficult to deal with because of things they've experienced in their lives. And God, my prayer is that they would find healing from those difficulties. God, that the difficult people in their lives, that they would reconcile that so that they could then change the way they treat other people. And all of a sudden what happens is me just praying over me, me lightly praying over them, will grow into a place where I can pray over them with more like a genuine heart for them. Amen, everybody? Let me give you some scripture. The Bible says this, Jesus speaking, "You've heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemies." Listen, that's called like worldliness. Like, be good to those that are good to you, and then you just give it back to those that give it to you, right? That's just the world's way of thinking. But I say, love your enemies. Man, that's so easy to preach. That's a whole different thing to live. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. This is a difficult pill to swallow, but listen, the truth sets you free. The truth does. If I can just walk in truth, and if I can just walk in the way that Jesus calls me to walk, then I can find freedom, because my bitterness, my hatred, my unforgiveness toward them doesn't put them in prison. It keeps me there. This will set me free. Amen. Number two, and this is, I got to tread really lightly here because I think this one is very much heavy. Watch this. My bad. I went too fast. Forgive them. Forgive them. Let me just settle down right here for a second. Because if every difficult person was the obnoxious young girl in the office that just annoys you, it'd be easy for me to preach this point. If every difficult person was the jerk in traffic that thinks that his agenda is more important than everybody else's on the road, swerving and cutting people off and all those things, this would be easy to preach. Because here's what I would say. Come on, let's grow up, let's be Christians, and forgive these people. It's a whole different thing, though, when they were the abuser or the betrayer. Or they were the ones that stole the business deal that you hinged your hope on. They're the reason your financial picture doesn't look like you thought it would look 5 years ago. It's them. It's a whole different message when it's like that. And so you have to hear me here, because I have to let the Holy Spirit of God bring the application to point number two to you. Because what I would never want to do is minimize or downplay the real wounds that some difficult people have had on your life. But I also want to speak to the reality of God's word, that we are called by God to forgive them, whether they're the obnoxious person in the office, the jerk in traffic, the jerk that abused you, the person that betrayed you, the business transaction that robbed you. We're still called by God to forgive. And here's what makes it difficult, and I hope I can classify this and do it quickly. That you got to understand something, that all sin, all of it, is equal. It all has the same consequence. The Bible says that the wages of sin, the payment of sin is, say it if you know it, death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have to understand something, that sin is all equal. So the person that told the little white lie to stay out of trouble has an equal amount of sin as the murderer that never got caught. Here's what makes it hard for us, that it has different consequences. And what we want to do is we want to grade it by its consequence, because the person who told the little white lie not to get caught shouldn't have the same consequence as the murderer. It's getting quiet, but I'm trying to help us. So what we tend to do is we tend to measure sin based on consequences rather than the spiritual reality of what sin brings us all. That's death. And whether your sin is big or small, in the eyes of God, it's equal. Right. Meaning, I'm as guilty. Right. as anybody else you could imagine. And that's tough to reconcile in our minds. But listen, we let our spirits lead. Amen? Followers of Christ. And here's what Jesus said. I'm glad it's his words and not mine, honestly. He said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But, if you refuse to forgive, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. That is a load. There is some real weight attached to those words of Jesus. And so my encouragement to you is, regardless of the difficult people that you're thinking of, I'm encouraging you to get before the Lord and just plead for his help. God, help me to walk in forgiveness. Help me, Lord God, to be like you. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, an innocent man who was falsely accused, who was completely abandoned, who was taken advantage of, who was not guilty, and he hung on the cross in front of all those people, naked and embarrassed. Do you remember what he said? Forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And I'm just going to tell you something. That no matter what you've experienced in your life, I'm just going to tell you something. That the difficult person or the difficult people in your life, that they're deceived. It was deception. But there's as much hope for their soul as there is for yours or mine. There is as much redemptive power in the blood of Jesus for their life than there was for our lives. And I just want you to know that when we learn to walk in the forgiveness of Jesus, it sets us free. Now, instead of my story being my cancer, my story becomes my weapon. And what starts to happen is now that, like, oh, I know how you feel because I've been there too. And here's the thing, especially when it's painful, especially when it carries a lot of weight and a lot of consequence, there's a lot of people that feel alone in it. And when they find out, like, I'm not the only one, you too, you understand where I've been, and you say, oh yeah, and let me show you what the power of the living God has done in me. Not only do you become free, they can be too. Amen. I could probably have a whole series on this. I really probably could, but we're going to go to point three. You guys ready? Here's another one that I think is really important, and it's simply this: honor them. Honor. Honor them. And this is one, and I'll say it like this, that I believe that some of the best way to show honor is to say nothing. Sometimes it's just to say nothing. So let me talk to our students for a second. The Bible says, honor your mother and father. Amen. Right? All the parents are like, preach, right now, preach. And so you have a choice. When they said no, you can't go, but all your friends are going, and you have a choice, and your text thread can say, my mom is so stupid, I don't even understand, blah, blah. I'm not showing any honor. Honor might simply say, I can't go. You see where I'm at? I could give you examples from my own life, but I'll be honest with you. I even thought about it, and I said it'd be hard for me to give certain examples without showing honor because I'd have to say things. I love people, everybody. I love them. I love people are the best. I believe the best in people. I assume the best in people. I like being around people. I'm a people person. I love people. But I don't like them all. I don't. And I'm sorry to say that out loud, but I don't. I too struggle with people. Particularly, I remember an example where I had a job, and there was a person that I worked with who was the most frustrating person I've ever personally encountered on a day-to-day basis. And by God's grace and mercy, they quit and left and did something else. Amen. And then I got news that they were coming back. And I told my wife, I said, if they return, I'll quit. I'm out. I don't know what we're going to do. I do not care. I ain't going back. And by God's grace and mercy, they did not come back. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what I chose to do was just not talk about them. So when every other employee Can you believe, oh my gosh, this morning, blah, blah, blah. I just chose to just grit my teeth because I wanted to pile on. Like, oh, I know, you should have said, right? And so oftentimes honor simply says nothing. What honor can also say is every positive attribute. So rather than just demean, I'll just speak of what's good. There's good qualities. There's good things. Even that person was funny, very funny. And so I would talk about that if I was going to talk. And it was hard not to say the wrong thing, but the Bible calls us to honor. Check it out. Love this verse. I'm moving on. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. It's like practice. If I will train myself not to waste my time speaking dishonorable things or thinking dishonorable things or buying in and replaying the thing in my mind over and over so that it builds an animosity and a frustration in my spirit. If I could just retrain myself to think differently, Father, help me to see them the way that you see them. Help me to say about them what you would say about them. Help me to be mute when I need to not say a word. Father, help me to grow the way. Help me find a delight in showing honor. And then what happens is that becomes more natural than the other. And what will happen is people will start to say to you, like, man, you're always so encouraging. You know what? God is rewiring some things on the inside of me because I don't always want to be, or I don't always think that way. But you know what? It's now my natural tendency because I find delight in showing honor. Yeah? Is this helping anybody? Yeah. All right. And then last point. We are in the descent, everybody. Lunch is close by. Amen. Number four. And I personally love this one. And that's learn from them. Learn from them. So like every single person you've ever encountered and every single person you'll ever encounter, you can learn from. You can learn what to adopt and you can learn what to avoid. But I can learn. And I say this out loud, I say it on purpose, and I mean it with all of my heart, that I'll tell people, I will die a student. I love learning. I love to learn. I don't ever want to arrive. I don't think that's real. They call that heaven, maybe, if it's real, right? That's arrival, but here on earth, on this side of heaven, arrival is not a thing I can ever achieve. I'll never get there. So I have to stay in a mindset of learning. And because people are one of my favorite things, I love to learn from people. And so what I do is I just reflect on experiences, encounters, relationships, personalities, moments, and I reflect to find what I can learn. And there are many, many things in my life that I've learned to say, I don't ever want to be like that. I don't ever want to emulate that attitude, that leadership style, that distrust, that dishonesty. I don't ever want to emulate that kind of impurity, that kind of greed or selfishness. But on the flip side, there have been so many people in my life, even ones that have hurt me deeply, that I say, well, I want to learn from that work ethic. You know what? I want to learn from that drive. I want to learn from that compassion, that generosity. I want to emulate those kinds of things. I want to be that joyful. I just want to have that kind of character. Man, that's amazing. And so what I do is I just purpose to remain a student. And in every case of my life, every single one, I've purposed to say, what can I learn? And so even the deepest scars in your life, you can learn from. And I regret that that's your lesson. I really do. I personally wish I could go undo it for you. But you know what? You can learn from it. You can purpose to say, I will not carry on that kind of heartbeat into my family or my home. My business will look different than that. Hey, you know what? My friendships will always be very mutual and open. You know something? My marriage will make it. Because I'll learn. I will learn and I will improve and I will adopt the good things. I will avoid the negative things, but either way, I learn. Come on, somebody. I hope that this has been helpful to you. I'll go one step further with this and I'll close. That I would encourage you to put, like, look for it. Look for them. Who are they? Who are they? I am crazy intentional about the people that I put around me. I'm really intentional about it. I pursue certain relationships. When I see certain qualities, I go after the people. I'm like, well, I want to, hey, what's up? Can I take you to many of the mentors in my life, I've done just like that. Can I buy you coffee? Can I take you lunch? I'd like to get to know you just a little bit better. And I intentionally spend time around the people that I think feed godliness in me. And some of you, you're struggling a lot. It's dark and you're in a bad place and you have a bad attitude and you never see the upside. You always see the downside. Listen, here's what I would say. Like, who are you around? Who are they? You know what you need? A life group. That's what you need. Now, you guys think we say that stuff just because we're trying to do more stuff. We don't need to do more stuff. We're trying to invite the power of the Holy Spirit to change more lives. And some of us, listen to me, it's just the wrong circle, bro. Come on, you have that pattern in your life? You're just learning the wrong stuff. Wake up. Who are you around? Now go figure out what you really want to adopt. And go be intentional about what you really want to avoid, because you can learn from everybody. The Apostle Paul said, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine. They call me pastor, and I don't have that kind of confidence. That is a bold statement. Pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Learn from those that follow our example. Amen. All right, here's where I'm going to close, because I feel like I've said this every Sunday of the year. But I've just been preaching to church people heavily. I've just been like talking to the follower of Christ for like 96% of my messages every Sunday. But I never want to forget those that's like, well, I don't know Jesus. Here's what I believe, though, is that by me speaking a life-giving message through the truth and the power of God's word, that there's an inspiring pull from the Holy Spirit that says, you can be in this family. You can have this relationship. You can have this freedom and this joy and this hope and this faith. You can have that, too. And so I would never, ever want to end a message and not communicate to you what is possible and available to you through Jesus Christ. And he just made it really simple. He was like, look, if you want to know God, you just need to know my son, because he's the bridge. Jesus said it this way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to my Father except through me. Today we've been talking a lot about forgiveness and difficult people. And let me tell you something. All of us are difficult people. Welcome to the family. That's why I tell people all the time. They're like, yeah, we're just kind of coming to, you know, see what this church is about. I'm like, oh, great. Well, you're going to fit right in because you are just like us. Am I right? Yeah. If you find the perfect church, come back next Sunday. Tell us. We will lock the doors and we will join you there. But as long as people are involved, it's full of difficult people. We've been talking about that today. And so I'm going to end with this verse and then we're going to pray. The Bible says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. That's where some of you are. It's just a dark kingdom. You've been deceived. And he's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Jesus isn't asking us to do anything he hasn't already done. Listen to me. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Forgiveness in Jesus is available to you too. Yeah, you. No, I know. Don't even think about yesterday, your past, your story, because anybody who's in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. And so what I want to do is I just want to invite you to the family, because all of us have been adopted here. None of us made our way here by church attendance, good behavior, giving, nice things. We were adopted into this family by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's available to you too. And so if that's you and you're like, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a part of the family of God, then I'm going to ask you to do one thing today, just one, and that is to repeat this prayer after me. Church family, you know how we do it? I ask every voice in the room to say it with me. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's congratulate those. Welcome them to the family. Welcome. It's good to have you. Welcome. It's really good to have you. Listen, I'm going to ask you to stick around for a couple of more minutes. I'm going to tell you, or the news rather, is about to tell you how you can take next steps. Listen to me. We don't want to just lead you in a prayer. We want to walk with you in a journey of faith. We're going to tell you how we do that next. Love you guys.